listening to Marty in the Morning on 96 to 99 RTE Lyric FM.
As you know, we are heading off on our trip to Verona very shortly, and I'm doing it for your benefit, not for mine at all. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about you. There's another fella heading off one of these trips with the travel department. That's Paolo Tullio. Paolo, most welcome. Nice
Thank
to have you.
Thank you for having me.
That's lovely to have you in. You're heading off to you're going to Barcelona.
Yeah, back to Barcelona, haunt of my youth.
Ah, because you're a Lazio boy.
I'm a Lazio boy. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. North of Naples, south of Rome.
Yes, you are.
Right, in that little bit there.
That's correct. With the Tuscan skies and everything else all around you.
Yeah.
Whatever else you can find. But you're doing this trip to Barcelona and Catalonia. It's a foodie trip. It's all about
it. It's very much a foodie trip.
Might be a class taken.
Which is great because Catalonia for foodies is kind of a Shangri-La ever since Ferran Adrià made his name in El Bulli, and the whole area is food driven. It's very inventive. It's a place where some of the more exciting gastronomy of Spain is coming from. And that's reflected, really, in the fact that, you know, there are an awful lot of Michelin-starred restaurants in that area of Spain.
So, and, of course, you're no stranger to a Michelin star.
No, I'm very fond of them.
And having achieved the said status yourself. But the point is that this is an interesting story insofar as you're an Italian, you're taking people from any persuasion at all, to Barcelona, to Spain. Yeah. And yet you have a history there.
I do, because, you know, when I went to Trinity College, they had these extraordinarily long summer holidays. They were sort of 5.5 months or something like that. You know? Yeah. So I used to set off for Spain, and I always went to Barcelona for 3 years on the trot. I used to spend the entire summer there, up and down the Costa Brava, mostly in the latter years, busking, up and down the seafront, going to different restaurants, different bars, and actually making quite a ridiculous amount of money. You really made great money doing that.
Fantastic.
As long as the police didn't move you on.
Yes.
It was grand. But in the first year I was there, I settled in a little town called Sitges, which is now sort of the gay capital of Costa Dorada, that bit. But I ended up working in a travel agency, and they used to send me out, because I can speak several languages, they put me on a bus twice a week, as I seem to remember, sometimes to do a tour of Barcelona, sometimes to take people to the bullfights, and I'd have to do that on the microphone in several languages. So this is, in a way, it's almost back to the roots and yes. Back to doing what I was doing. I hesitate to say how many years ago.
Don't say it. But it's which is quite something. You sound like a man who's had a bit of a love affair with Spain.
I'm very fond of Spain. I liked it an awful lot. There's something about the way the Spanish live their lives. I like the fact that you go out on a hot night and everybody smells of soap. That I thought was quite good. The only thing I haven't quite got my head around is this thing of going out to a restaurant at night at about 11 o'clock.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I was recently in a tour of the Rioja with the Spanish wine people, and they took us to this lovely restaurant in Pamplona, and we got into the restaurant at about 5 to 11, and there wasn't a soul in it. And I thought, God, this looks a bit empty. By the time we were at our main course, it was full.
That's weird.
I mean, how late do you want to go?
And are they young as well? I mean, is it...
No, I didn't see any children.
No children, okay.
So. I didn't, but still in all, they still get up and start work in the office at 8. I don't know how this works.
And is this midweek, during the week?
This was during the week, yeah.
It's most odd, isn't it?
Well,
hopefully you'll get an earlier night than that when you're away.
Well, I think what we're concentrating on this trip is tapas.
Tapas.
So lots and lots and lots of tapas, and including my favourite tapas place in Barcelona, Cal Pep, which means Pep's place. There is a Pep, yeah. And he looks the part. I mean, he really looks like celebrity chef. He does it well.
Yes.
And he's avuncular and big and greets people with big smiles. He's quite impressive.
Sounds very good. Now, musically speaking, from that part of the world, I suppose there really is only one piece. You could play many, but there's one really big piece, isn't there?
There's one piece I'm incredibly fond of.
What's that one?
It's the Concierto de Aranjuez by Rodriguez.
Yeah, it is quite something.
It's beautiful.
It is.
I just love the tune.
Not only beautiful, it's here.
Thank you.
is. That's
that was beautiful. Really
good. It was beautiful, wasn't it? In fairness to you, it was. It was well spotted. Just I saw your review of the unicorn on Saturday.
Yes.
In the Independent.
Yeah, yeah.
Do people see you coming in and say, right, we better get the good cutlery out. Tullio's in.
What? It's a bit late by the time I walk in the door.
Is it?
Yeah, because I always get who if I would prefer not to book, but if I think it's necessary,
yes,
I'll get whoever I'm going with to make the booking in their name. So the first they know of my visit is as I walk in the door.
Okay.
And most times when that happens, curiously enough, you're greeted in most restaurants these days by somebody from Ukraine or Lithuania, and they haven't a notion who I am.
Yes. Yeah.
Because and anyway, people who work in restaurants tend not to watch a great deal of telly because they're working at nights.
Sure.
But what often happens is about somewhere around the main course, suddenly there's people rushing over to me and saying, is that all right? And then somebody else comes over and says, is that all right? And then someone else will come over and ask me, is that okay?
Yes.
And you think, all right, now they know.
Yeah,
they know now. But at least that way, the menu is going to be what it is. The chef that's on is the chef that's on. And if they're short-staffed, they're short-staffed. Whereas, you know, if there was advance warning, all of those things could be corrected and not necessarily reflect the actuality of the place.
But I feel when I read your piece, you almost get the bad stuff out of the way, and then you get into the ambiance and the place and you paint your picture then.
Yeah, it's I had a restaurant.
Yes, you did.
I do know restaurateurs are surprisingly thin-skinned. They will surprise you at how easily they can be hurt.
Yes.
So I try to be gentle. And if there is something that needs to be said, I'll say it. But I'll try and accompany it with something that, but this was terrific.
Right.
You know, yes, to make you soften the blow.
Yes. Which is much better.
I think so.
Because everybody's out there, you would like to think, doing the best they possibly can. But when they see you, they think of Food and Wine magazine. They think of the restaurant. Obviously, they think of the Independent and stuff. So your pedigree goes before you. So when you go in there, no, but I mean, they're going to be saying, oh, merciful are Paul O'Toole. Say, what are we going to do? And there is that. Presumably, you can equally go out for meals and nobody pays you a bit of mind. Or is it not possible at all?
It can happen as long as it's somewhere that I go fairly frequently and they know that I'm not there.
That's right.
I'm not there to work.
Yes, yes.
And there is a strange difference in reviewing as when you go to a restaurant to review. I find if I'm doing that, I have to kind of concentrate on what's coming to the table, what's happening to other people around me. And it means you can't really get into any kind of serious conversation with who you're with. But I find when I'm not reviewing, you can have great, amusing, interesting conversations, and the food just comes and it goes, and I'm not really paying much attention to it, which is, I suspect, how most people go out and have a meal.
That's correct. That's correct.
But I have to watch and notice every bit that's on the plate, and it makes it difficult. So I have to sort of tell whoever I'm taking out, look, please don't worry if I'm not talking to you or as I normally would. But I am actually working,
yes,
although it looks like I'm sitting down and stuffing my face.
Yes, of course.
But I'm actually working.
This is called work.
Yes, this is called work.
And I suppose I'll have to have a glass of wine while I'm here and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is also very important. I mean, I know you're doing the Spanish trip, but I mean, would you be an Italian wine fan? You would, I presume, would you?
I'm also very fond of particular Spanish wines. I like the classic Riojas. I like the Marqués de Murieta, for example. And for me, one of those wine trips that I went to Spain, the visit to the Marqués de Murieta winery was, for me, just the most wonderful thing. And you turn off the road and you go down this long avenue and you're into a valley and the beautiful building of the winery, this suddenly comes into view and everywhere there are vineyards. And I thought, oh, yes, this is just beautiful. And I knew we were going to be given some of their finest vintages and we're going to eat there. So it was wonderful.
I have never visited a winery, never.
It's fascinating, but when you do it a lot, as I did when I spent 5 years writing the wine column as well in the Independent, and I used to get on a lot of these trips. But what you notice time and time again is what they always want to do. You get to a winery, they think, now, we will show you the bottling plant. And you think, I want to see a bottling plant. I've seen thousands of bottling plants. They're all the same.
Yeah.
But they because it's the biggest investment they've made.
It's the most impressive thing.
They want to show it to you.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I could almost write the book of the great bottling plants I have seen.
It'll not sell.
No, it won't, because it's really dull.
Yeah, absolutely. Incidentally, you've published a book, I believe.
I have, just recently.
But it's a
novel.
A novel.
It's my second one.
Yeah.
It's called Longing and Belonging. And if anybody's interested, they can find it on Amazon.
Because you didn't bring one.
Oh, no, I didn't. No. I thought we were going to be talking about travel.
Well,
today.
It doesn't matter. Longing and Belonging.
Longing and Belonging.
Okay.
And it's the story of emigration and... it's from Italy.
Yes.
And I suspect Irish people are going to find all kinds of parallels and all kinds of resonances between what happened in rural Ireland and towns where there was huge emigration and what happened in southern Italy.
I want to talk to you about that in a second. In the meantime, I think I hear Dean Martin singing Little Old Wine Drink for Me in the background.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm sitting in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. They ask, who's a fool in the corner crying? I say, a little old wine drink of me. I came here last week from down in Nashville, 'cause my baby left for Florida on a train. I thought I'd get a job and just forget her, but in Chicago her broken heart is still the same. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee. When they ask who's a fool in the corner crying, I say, a little old wine drink of me. I say, a little.
There he is, good man, Dino. Dino, a little old wine drinker me. Paolo Tullio is joining me. Just to let you know, he's heading off on a tapas with Tullio in Barcelona. It's the travel department gig, and that's happening. When are you going, by the
9th,
way?
9th of October.
9th of October, that'll be fantastic. You were talking about the idea of immigration. What brought you to Ireland? Can I ask you that?
I came to Ireland to go to Trinity College.
Ah, OK.
And as far as I was concerned, that was possibly going to be the sum total of my stay.
Sure.
But I just had an instant love affair with this island. I can remember quite well, I was walking down Grafton Street, probably about a week or so after I'd arrived, and I was walking down Grafton Street, and I remember thinking to myself, do you know what? This is a really nice place. Oh, I could live here. I have.
Yes,
and
yes.
I've loved it.
Really?
Ireland has been very good to me, I have to say.
Sure, but you've left family behind you, presumably, and
I've loads
friends.
Of family in Italy.
Yes.
I mean, huge numbers of cousins and of anything other than that, no, very little. All the older generations are now all gone. So I'm left basically with a town full of cousins.
Well, and have you brothers and sisters?
No.
You've none.
But literally, when I say full of cousins, I'm being completely accurate. There is nobody in the village
you're related to
them, whom I am not related, if you count third cousins.
Good job you didn't stay. You couldn't have married any of them.
Well, you can marry your third cousin, I think, can't you?
You can.
Yeah. That's not considered incest.
No, it's not. In fairness, I just don't want to. You don't want to marry your cousin.
No, really.
It's no. It can be complicated.
But half the time, you don't know they're your cousins.
Well, no, but you do.
Well, you have to go and do a fair bit of research to find out.
Right.
Because this all happened because about 3 years ago, I thought to myself, I wonder if there's anybody here I'm not related to, because they have so many. And then there's a dear friend of mine whose great-grandparents came from another town to ours. And I thought, well, actually, there's a fair chance I'm not related to him because he hasn't got time.
Yes. No,
he's a third cousin as well.
Good Lord.
It's just impossible to avoid.
Isn't that funny?
You will always find somebody somewhere who had, oh, yes, but then this. And yeah, we're related.
Oh, that's wonderful. Would you do go back?
I'm going back very, very shortly.
Very shortly.
Very shortly, taking a long 4-week stay.
Oh, wow. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
And you'll do very little when you're there, won't you?
I do a little bit of work.
Will you cook?
I might do a bit of cooking. I'll do a bit of writing.
Right.
In the afternoons when it gets very hot,
yes.
Either I'll take a little nap or I might do something useful like sit at the computer.
Right. And then take a nap.
Because
that's the way it is in that lovely climate. I have a love affair with the whole region to do. It's so wonderful.
Are you going to love Verona?
Yeah, Verona's quite spectacular.
You've been there before?
We've been before. It is so perfect.
There is a wonderful restaurant that I suggest to you.
Yes, please do.
If you get the time.
Yes.
When you walk up that main shopping street that's now pedestrianised.
Yes, where you go on to Piazza Bra.
Go up about 500 yards.
Yes.
This is the best way I can explain it to you. And just on the side street on the right, there is the Enoteca dei Vini, which has the most spectacular. You know it.
Oh.
With its wine list of 4,000 wines.
Unbelievable.
It's just extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? And we're thinking of sleeping there during our stay.
I got a tour once of their cellar.
Did you?
And they have...
That's because you've special...
They have wines that you just... Any wine lover would just die for. You know the very big bottles that have sort of names like Methuselahs and Salamanazas and Nebuchadnezzars. They have those of the great French chateaus in good years. Those are Salamanazas of Malisco. And
are they just retaining them or are they selling
them?
Well,
presumably. They're on the list.
Oh, no.
If somebody wants to spend 12 grand.
Yes, no bother.
They're there.
And it's the most unassuming building when you come to
it. Absolutely. It doesn't look like anything,
does
it?
Looks like nothing. And you go in and it's almost heavenly.
It is.
It will be heavenly. But thank you for that. Listen, Paula, thank you for coming in. It's been
such a pleasure to talk to you.
Really enjoyed it. I'm just thinking musically what we should go out on, something French or Italian or Spanish or I don't know what the heck. Play Riverdance. What did we play? We'll play something appropriate, that much I do know. I suppose it probably should be Spanish because it's you. Yeah, I suppose it will. I'll come up with something. You leave with me. Good luck with your trip. You're
Thank
a pleasure.
You so much.
And I'll go on yours if you go on mine.
Done.
little Spanish dance of the minute. That's it. Thank you to Paulio. And thank you indeed for being with us this morning. So Dr. Tullio leaves the building, as indeed do I. Niall is next. God bless you. Until Monday. Take care of each other. God bless. God bless. My maracas, please. Pass me my maracas. Thank you.